tasted so good. Not because of the peanut butter, the jelly, or the bread, but because of the place. I was enjoying my lunch while working as a climbing ranger in Rocky Mountain National Park, and I was at my favorite place, Chasm Lake. The emerald blue waters gave way to the rolling white hills of Mills Glacier, which led to 2,000 feet of vertical golden granite that was shaped like a diamond that ended at the 14,000-foot summit of Long's Peak. It's quite the place. But my serenity was interrupted by the cackle of the radio. It was Park Dispatch. There was an injured climber partway up the face. I finished my peanut butter and jelly sandwich and headed that way. As my partner and I approached from below, we could see the climber sitting on the one ledge of the route that was about 6 feet wide. We could see that he was wearing crampons with leather straps and brown dress pants that were creased on the side. He had a white button-down shirt on. Next to him sat his canvas backpack and wooden ice axe. To be clear, not a Gravity Sports shopper. A man in his 70s introduced himself. "Hi, my name's Dean," he said. "I fell, I hurt my arm, and I took a shit on the ledge." So he pointed over to the pile of feces sitting next to him on the ledge. Although Dean and I had never met, I knew all about him from the other climbing rangers who'd rescued Dean several other times. He was the archetypal poorly behaved MPF or Park Service visitor. He was poorly prepared. He was rescue happy, always calling us up, and he used the park as his own personal journal. Nevertheless, Dean and I got to know each other better as we were tied to the end of a rope and lowered down the face together. He was an astrophysicist. He was a longtime climber. He climbed all over the world, and this climb was going to be the last climb that he ever did. It was going to seal his legacy. It would give him time to do the other things that he loved to do, like drinking wine. Things went okay with Dean and I on the way down. We finally got him to the rescue shelter in the middle of the night, but that's where things kind of went south. I gave Dean an IV in his arm to give him some medications and some fluids, but he pulled it out because it hurt. We gave him a dinner with fresh vegetables, pasta, and sausage, but he threw it on the floor because it tasted disgusting. He even had the audacity to take another shit on the steps of the shelter because we had put the bathroom too far away. Oh. It wasn't a long goodbye the next day when we finally got Dean to the trailhead. But nevertheless, he called me up 2 weeks later. His arm was feeling better, and he was ready to complete his last great climb. I shared that conditions on the route had changed. I shared information about another route that was a little bit easier, and I even pointed him towards other mountains. But he insisted that this is what his goal was. Finally, I think I pissed him off because I said, "Dean, if you get hurt again or something happens, me nor any of my climbing staff is going to go up and rescue you." I think that did piss him off because he hung up on me. But a couple weeks later, I showed up at work, and there was a note taped to the ranger station at the trailhead. It was from Dean. It said, "Dear Jess, thank you for your help in this quest. I really appreciate your advice and your guidance. I'm going to go up the route you suggested, around the back. It's a little easier. And I'd love if you met me on the summit for a glass of Grand Daru Domaine, something, some kind of French wine." I did go up the mountain that day. I went to the summit. I enjoyed my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It was delicious. But I never ran into Dean. The next day, I showed up at work, and I had a message on my answering machine. It was from Dean. He'd made it. He'd made it to the top, and he recounted every detail of the climb. It was good to hear the joy in his voice. He said that he wished that I could have been there to celebrate with him and to share that moment. But that since I wasn't there, he shared a bottle of wine with some unexpected hikers who reluctantly took a glass from him, and according to Dean, took it down in one gulp. That was the last I heard from Dean, and I found out a few years later that he'd passed. I read his obituary. It shared how he loved his family, physics, wine, climbing. And I shared it with a friend who was a wine connoisseur, and immediately his eyes popped out of his head because he recognized the vineyard, the type of wine. And he laughed because he said, You know, Jess, this glass of wine would have probably been the finest glass you ever had. In fact, it probably that bottle was worth more than you make in a year. And at first I was pissed. All these years I've been eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches when I could have been enjoying the same wine as the Queen of England. But then, I really began to respect Dean and I kind of endear him in his, the work that he put in to get there to complete his legacy, to complete his last great climb. And I think a lot about how we celebrate experience and how I celebrate experience. And I ask myself, how should I celebrate that experience? Should it be with a glass of wine? Should it be, do I need to erect a monument or put up a plaque with my name on it in a remote place? Do I need to put it on Instagram? I don't know the answer. I do know that sometimes I feel that when we share the experience, we maybe dilute the quality of the experience. So that comes to my mind too. And I'm also curious about those hikers that had the random glass of wine on the summit. Did they know what they were drinking? How did it taste? Was it the best wine they ever had? Or was the place enough? I think I know the answer.